Mark Herman, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Hi. Hello. This is The Beat. Adam Hogue and Mark Herman here with you today. What do we talk about? What is there to talk about in this crazy world of sports that we live in? Oh, Chris Sale. Yeah, that guy.
I love him.
You love Chris Sale.
I do. Great, 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 great man of entertainment right now. 5-game suspension for Chris Sale. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Herman. Adam Hogue was off yesterday. You're back, buddy.
I was. I was at Miller Park last night. Cubbies. Sorry, man. John Lackey was not very good.
No, and Addison Russell injured today, a little heel contusion. Had to leave the game. Cubs losing to the Brewers again. But Chris Sale, the story. And, you know, we talked about it a lot yesterday as it unfolded on The Beat, that Chris Sale was cutting and ripping up jerseys and being sent home. And then Rick Hahn spoke today and 5-game suspension, eligible to come back next Thursday, which would be the fourth and final game with the Cubs and White Sox. So maybe he'll pitch, maybe he won't. No, but I'm assuming, I have no idea what will happen. But
who cares?
Okay, well, let it out. Let your feel.
No, I mean, I think people expect me to come on the show today and just kind of rant and rave about this nonsense. It is nonsense. I'm just sick of this. Like, I'm just sick of. I don't know if you saw my tweet yesterday when this was happening, but just get a hold of your franchise. Like, find a direction, get a hold of your franchise. This kind of crap cannot happen. And in places where it does, you need change.
Well, okay.
Just stop.
Let's start there then, okay?
This runs way deeper than...
Yeah, it does.
You and I were on the air in March when this whole Drake LaRoche nonsense was happening too. And I think we both said it at the time. I know I wrote it. You can't just pass off what Chris Sale said about Kenny Williams like it doesn't matter. Like, you can just get over it. In what business does one of your employees call out the boss publicly like that? Basically said he should go. Remember that? He said the wrong person left with the locker room or whatever he said when it was Adam LaRoche.
Yeah, and he said he said he was bald-faced lied to.
Yeah, bald-faced lied to.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever that means. But
so wait, hold on a second. Are you saying that you want Chris Sale traded?
Oh, I definitely want Chris Sale traded, but it has nothing to do with this last night.
Okay, so
that's a whole separate conversation. I mean, look. The White Sox definitely need to sell off right now. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to be somehow united by this, and they're going to win 7 games in a row, and then they're probably going to buy instead.
Well, they won the 3 times rain-delayed game last night. Today on a walk-off Adam Eaton base knock, and then they're winning today. So that would be, I guess, 2-0 since Chris Sale if they hold on. But here's my thing. And this falls under the Jerry Reinsdorf umbrella. When you have the greatest player of all time to ever play anything, that guy gets to make decisions for the franchise. He has that type of pull. The most important guy when the Bulls were winning titles was not Jerry Krause, was not Phil Jackson, was not anyone else other than Michael Jordan. And I'm not saying that he should be general manager. But I am saying that if there is real controversy between, at that time, the GM and Michael, well, then Michael's going to win.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, with the White Sox right now, you have one guy who is by far the best player on the team.
Yeah.
Top 5 pitcher in baseball.
Right now, probably the best pitcher in baseball.
Fair enough. The most valuable player in all of baseball on the contract that he has. Okay. If he doesn't want to wear, he's not really asking for a whole lot here. If he's going to listen to a press conference earlier in the week by the general manager who says we're mired in mediocrity and everybody's in play, and on the day that he's supposed to pitch with the trade deadline 9 days away, and he doesn't want to wear that jersey, you make the accommodation, as petulant as it may be. He's earned that right. He just has. And I'm not saying that it's perfect on Chris Sale's part, but if he doesn't feel comfortable in the jersey and it's too hot or it's too uncomfortable.
But Carmen, this doesn't have to do with the jersey. He's throwing a temper tantrum because he's sick of the trade talk.
Okay, well then let's...
And you can't do that. I was in Miller Park last night. Jonathan Lucroy wasn't throwing a temper tantrum because he's probably going to get traded this week. He hit a bomb in the first inning.
But he just
went out there and did his job.
Right, but Jonathan Lucroy doesn't have the pull that Chris Sale has. Listen, if you had...
He should.
No.
He's the most valuable player in the Brewers right now.
Yeah, but he's not Chris Sale. Come on. I mean, Chris Sale's top five player.
But it doesn't matter what kind of pull you have. You're an employee of the team. And yes, the White Sox have dumb promotions. I sat through the most ridiculous thing for the second year in a row, Christmas in July on Friday night. What the heck? What is that? So dumb.
It's called sell tickets.
At least they weren't playing the Cardinals, because last year they did Christmas in July against the Cardinals, as if there wasn't enough red in the stands. Let's have a Christmas party. Hello. And then do you know what they're doing next month? They're giving away Illini hats. It's Illini night. You know who they're playing?
The Astros?
They're playing the Orioles. So they're going to give out orange hats against the Orioles. And it's like, does it really matter? No, but it's optics and very smart sports business people like John McDonough would never do that. Trust me, they would never do that.
I'm not argument there.
You know, Jim Phillips isn't having Northwestern like some red promotion when they're playing the Wisconsin Badgers, right? It's all about purple, purple, purple. And the point here is that, yes, the White Sox do a lot of ridiculous things. There's a lot of minor league type stunts. And it's not just them. A lot of teams around the league do it. You're an employee of the team, and you have to put up with it. And you can whine about it behind the scenes like I did sitting there Friday night. This is so stupid. Why are we doing Christmas in July? This is dumb. But if it's your day to pitch, you go out there and you pitch. You don't throw a temper tantrum because you don't like how your name's getting thrown out there. And it probably is getting leaked out there because that's the best way for the White Sox to get the best value.
Okay, well, here.
That's how it works. Let's
talk about leadership then, okay? Let's say you're the manager of the Chicago White Sox, and the best player on your team is supposed to pitch that night, and he's having a temper tantrum about the uniforms. He's having a disagreement at the start about the uniforms. Now,
let's clarify that. He cut up the jerseys.
Well, it escalated. Originally, he just didn't want to wear them. They said no, and then, I mean, this is all what we think happened, and then he ended up cutting up the jerseys.
Someone I was with last night at the Brewer game said it best, though. It's like, that's psycho ex-girlfriend nonsense.
It is.
It's scary.
He has a significant history, which we'll talk about coming back after the break here, but... which is a little crazy. But my point is this. If you are the manager of the team, and by the way, it's been promoted by Rick Hahn. Oh, Robin is amazing from 10 p.m. to 7 p.m. You know, when the game's over and getting ready for the next game, he's great. But
he basically said he's not great during the game.
Right. He said that. That's a real statement.
Yeah.
But okay, fine. And if that's what you care about more, that the players play the game and that he knows how to get guys ready.
Then stuff like this shouldn't happen.
Well, right. So then you should understand people. And if Chris Sale, your best guy, who you've been around for a long time and have had run-ups with, is having some form of issue with the uniform, maybe it would be time to be slightly conscious, aware, whatever. Hey, Chris, come into my office right now. And you sit him down and say, look, man, is this about the jersey? Or is this about where the team's at? Or is this about your trade rumors? Because I know that maybe this is not your favorite jersey, but I know that you're more mature than to freak out about a jersey. Something else is going on. Why don't we have a discussion? And then you have a discussion and you actually go man to man, look in his eyes, have a moment. This doesn't happen. But from what I can tell, and I think from what everyone can tell, Robin Ventura is in this, hey man, I played and I got myself ready and you guys are either going to do it or you're not, and I'm happy to be here and I care, but you know, again, it is about having good players. He's just not, he doesn't put his thumbprint on the team nearly enough. And so it falls to like Kenny Williams in spring training to step in on Drake LaRoche, or like last night. Come on, man. Where are you? That is your gig. That's what you do.
Well, I don't know what happened in the locker room last night.
Well, whatever happened, he didn't handle it right. It shouldn't end. Whatever was going on, it should have ended with Chris Sale leaving the ballpark, not pitching, and suspended for 5 days. You're the manager. What are you doing? Get control of your player. Don't let it escalate to this level.
No one should be surprised by this. I mean, after what happened in March, what's been going on for years now on the South Side, I wrote this in March. This was a direct quote when I was talking about the request from the White Sox to Adam LaRoche to not bring his kid around. I said that the request was valid, but the foundation of the organization was not equipped to handle the problem, especially within a culture that is evidently not unified. And that is what the White Sox are. They're not equipped to handle situations like this, probably partly because of their manager, partly because of the organizational structure where sometimes we don't know who's in charge, and then all of a sudden Kenny comes out of nowhere to show his power. And from the comments from Chris Sale in March, we know how he feels about Kenny Williams. We have so much more to get. We got to get to the trade talk, too, because I got a whole list of reasons why the White Sox should trade Chris Sale right now.
Okay, we can
starting with Kenny Williams.
We can do that.
They're not going to get along. Why keep him?
Well, let's do that coming back here. 312-981-7200. Feel free to jump in on the beat. 312-981-7200. It feels appropriate to read this promo right here. Time to take sides. Watch the Chicago Cubs battle the Chicago White Sox for the Crosstown Cup. That's Tuesday through Thursday on WGN-TV. We're Chicago's very own play. 720 WGN.
Chris Sale, 2 days ago, as well as today, is every bit the Cy Young pitcher now that he was then. Doesn't change our view of how his elite caliber and his ability to help us or any club win a championship.
That's the general manager, Rick Hahn, for the Chicago White Sox, talking today at U.S. Cellular Field. And I liked how he actually did a good job. If I give him credit for one thing, he kind of had to, up the trade value still. I don't really think this is going to affect the trade value that much. I don't think it helps.
Well, I think that it doesn't affect the trade value because I think teams around baseball look at the White Sox and see dysfunction. And they look at what Chris Sale has done and, okay, it's not perfect, but is that a guy that I wouldn't want on my baseball team? No, I'm good. I'll take Chris Sale, and I'll look at the White Sox. By the way, if Ozzie Guillen was still the manager of this team, you think this happens?
No.
No way. Yeah. You
wear the jersey.
You have to listen. I'm one of the people out here who doesn't take well to authority very well. And if it was a substitute teacher in school, I probably wasn't paying attention and probably was, throwing paper balls. But there were certain subs or certain teachers that commanded the room, and I wasn't going to be a fool when I was in seventh grade. Robin Ventura, at least for Chris Sale, it's like substitute teacher, man. Just do whatever I want with this guy. I'm going to complain about when he has me throw intentional walk against the Tigers back in the day. I mean, you didn't back me up properly with Brad Auspice. We can go through all the stuff. I know you want to talk trade here, but it's like he doesn't. Robin Ventura to Chris Sale is like, he might as well be some like seventh grade coach when he's like the greatest player in Pony League.
Well, and that's another layer to this. I mean, the White Sox season is over, and you're gonna go to the end of the year not knowing what could have happened if you had shaken things up. And what's interesting is it seems like every time you do shake things up in this clubhouse, they respond well. Like the whole Drake LaRoche thing. Now this thing, I mean, all of a sudden they had a bullpen start yesterday, and everyone pitched pretty well. They ended up winning the game today when they finally got finished. Now are they still at 4-0 right now?
They are.
They're at 4-0 right now.
In the fifth, sixth inning, whatever it is.
So, by the way, because I was not totally on top of this story yesterday.
It's 4-0, top five.
Because I was at Miller Park. They were supposed to wear these jerseys last night or today?
Last night.
They were supposed to wear them last night.
Yes.
And they didn't.
Correct.
So did he really cut up all the jerseys?
I don't know how many. That's not clear. Whether he just cut up his own or if he cut up everybody's or whatever, whatever he did. And it's also not clear to me, what do his teammates think of him? Because he does have to come back to this team. And
I'd be really – and we talked about this in March. Like, there was a very vocal corner in that clubhouse that was – that was, like
– old school.
Totally, you know, against the whole Drake LaRoche.
Right.
Like, he should be here. We lost our leader. But if you notice, there were, like, only three guys talking. And remember when we were talking about Jimmy Rollins?
Yeah.
And Jimmy, in, like...
I believe I made the point the white guys in the clubhouse were in one corner and they all freaked out about Drake LaRoche.
The point is, I think it's pretty safe to say that there's probably a... I don't know about majority, but there's at least a good group of people in that clubhouse that are probably going... Dude, just wear the jersey, go out there and pitch so we can win the game tonight.
Yeah, are you kidding? Who the hell are you? Suit on up, buddy.
I got to call myself out, though.
Before you do that, I just want to respond to one thing you just said, where you said the season is over. And 93% chance it is. But the thing is that, and people forget this about a baseball season, it's really, really, really long. And if they did get hot, they're not... I'm not saying they're going to, but they're not, like, officially done yet.
But they
still
can't sustain anything over
probably
the next 2 months.
Probably not. But
I hope that they don't. Like, I hate fans who are like, oh, I'm rooting against my team, you know. But right now, like, I'm not saying that I root against the White Sox, but Friday night and I'm at the game and they end up losing, that's fine.
No, hey, listen.
Because I don't trust them to sell off. Like, I don't trust. Like, even if they went 5-5, I could see them being like, well, let's just stand pat. We'll see how things are in the offseason.
I mean, they're 7 back in the wild card. It's a mountain. And there's the
Royals. There's like 100 teams in front of
them.
The
Royals, Yankees, Mariners, Tigers, and Astros, who are all in front of them and arguably are all better teams than the Chicago White Sox. But I'm not saying season's over, season's over. I can see the future. You just don't know. Crazy things happen in baseball, and they almost happen all the time. Cardinals come roaring back from 10 games back to 10 games down in August. They end up winning the division. The White Sox are not built to do this.
Yeah.
But they did have that one stretch earlier this season where they were super hot. And by the way, the roster looks basically the same.
It blinded me.
Right.
It blinded me to all the things I've been saying and writing for years.
Call yourself out now.
Well, I just Googled. I was trying to find my story quickly, so sometimes I'll Google it. And I came across one I wrote in 2013 that was why the White Sox need to rebuild. 2013, that was 3 years ago. You just wasted 3 years. But, yeah, I got blinded by the start. There's no question. 23-10, I was all in. They won had a comeback win against Texas in early May. On a May 10th, I wrote, I was wrong about the White Sox, and gave them all the credit in the world for their start. Basically completely bought in that night. The next night, they blew a lead, and it's been off. This is... Look, we're going to be wrong sometimes. I know that. But, like, this is by far the worst thing I've ever written. It's not even close. It's not even close. Like, I've never been more wrong. And I should have trusted. I really should have trusted, like, I have a pretty good, like, sense of this organization, wouldn't you say? And I've been so adamant for years. Like, this is not how you're going to sustain success. Maybe you'll catch lightning in a bottle once and go to the playoffs. But... It's been 8 years now. It's been 8 years since they've been in the playoffs. That's crazy to think about. And I was all in on 23-10 earlier this year, but...
Well, it's hard not to get excited.
That was a mistake. Because they've come right back to where they've been.
Well, it's a good lesson for you, Adam. Stick to your guns.
Yeah.
And, hey, if it gets really proven out over the course of a whole season, then you can admit you're wrong at the end, rather than after 1 month when it turns out that... At least right now, yeah,
I jumped the gun.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We got Charles Peanut Tillman, your former Chicago Bear who retired as a Bear earlier this week, signing a 1-day contract. We will talk to Peanut Tillman right after the 3:30 news on 720 WGN.
First down and 20. Gabbert with time. Fires and it is picked off by Charles Tillman. Tillman inside the 10, the 5, and he is in.
Matches their best starting field position of the game. Rodgers still trying to find somewhere to go. Picked off Tillman. Interception by Charles Tillman. What a catch. and Tillman is still on his feet down at the 15.
Charles Tillman gets around you. You better get your hands around the football. Once again, just knocking the thing out of there. He doesn't go for the tackle. He just punched it right through the arms of LeSean McCoy. That looked like a right hook.
Back here on the beat, those highlights courtesy of Fox and NBC. Our next guest is actually now a Fox employee. Charles Peanut Tillman joins us here.
What a sellout. Can't believe it. To join the media? Oh, my God.
What's going on, Charles?
How you guys doing? Yeah, I sold my soul. What are y'all? Damn.
It's a terrible move. You're going to regret it.
I'm already am.
Hey, Charles, I know you were Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen here, by the way, on the beat. We're here till 7 o'clock today, and Charles Tillman joins us right now. I know you were a little hesitant to kind of have a big party at Hallis Hall Friday. You wanted to keep things a little bit more low-key, but sitting there during the press conference, I could tell you were enjoying it a little bit, at least. And so how cool was that to kind of have Friday retire as a Bear, have your family there and the whole thing?
It was real cool. Like I said, when I first started the press conference, I initially wanted to just go holler at George and Cliff Stein and, you know, sign my papers and go back home. But, you know, I was under advisement by a lot of people that I should do the press conference. And I'm glad I did it because it gave me a chance to express how thankful I am for just the outpour of support from Charles Tillman fans across the league.
Well, and Pina, a lot of people are having a discussion, is Charles Tillman a Hall of Famer? And I don't want to put you in an awkward spot here, but we were just talking about it, and we think you are. Do you think you belong in Canton, Ohio?
I would like to get it, but I don't think that will necessarily make or break my career. The only regret I have from playing 13 years is not making the 40-40 club. You know, my numbers speak for themselves. If I get in, I get in. If I don't, well, I don't. You know, I'm not going to hang my head on that. I've had, you know, 13 amazing years on two great teams. And, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with what I've been able to accomplish, you know.
Well, 40 is a cool number, but yeah, I mean, you are the only one of the 44-38 club, right?
That's a cool club, too.
I mean, you're still, I think the point there is that, and we were just talking about this too, Charles, I mean, you kind of brought your own brand, or at least when I look back on it, kind of your own brand to your position in the NFL, and that your unique way of both being able to cover and force turnovers. And I don't know how much you know, Charles, about DeAndre Hall this year, who the Bears drafted in the fourth round. I don't know if you've met him or had a chance to talk to him yet, but one of the first things he said to us right after he was drafted was that he's modeling his game after yours, or he looks at your game and says, that's how I want to be a corner. And I don't think he was just saying that just because he's on the Bears. I think he, when he was at Northern Iowa, really thought the same way. And that's got to be pretty cool, too, to hear young guys coming in the league that want to model their game after yours.
It is. I was a kid who, when I used to play basketball, I thought I was MJ. You know, 3-2-1, and the shooting the jumper at the free throw line. Little 10-footer. I take it as a sign of respect, and it's humbling to know that other athletes, other players, you know, model their game around yours. And I like it. It's cool. I can't even lie to you. I think it's pretty cool. And I hope he surpasses and does better than I did.
Hey, Peanut, you mentioned MJ there, and you were born in Chicago, but you moved around a ton. Your dad, he was a sergeant in the U.S. Army. Is that all correct? And, you know, how did that impact you as a kid, moving around and having that type of discipline around you all the time? Do you think that's a big reason why you made it as far as you did in your life, all the way to the NFL?
Yeah. You know, more than anything, moving around, you know, every 2-3 years it really taught me the sink or swim mentality. It always taught me to I'm always adapting in new environments. An example would be school. You know, in third grade, I went to three different schools in third grade. And you know, every school, they have their own curriculum during the school year. And I went to one school, and everything was great. And then we moved, and we started, you know, like writing in cursive. And I didn't know how to write in cursive yet. But my other school hadn't started, but this school was a little ahead. So I kind of had to just learn how to do it on the fly. Then I leave that school and go to another one. We move to Germany, and, you know, this particular school, they're doing division. Division was like a foreign language to me at the time because my previous school, we hadn't started it yet. So, again, I had to kind of, you know, sink or swim mentality, and I just had to pick it up on the fly, and I ended up getting it. And I really think that has that helped me, that helped transform me into, you know, the man I am today, the sink or swim mentality, always just knowing how to adapt to new situations and new environments, you know, just trying a way to get through the problem, you know, be a problem solver, not just sit there and ask questions like, well, I don't know how to do it, so I can't do it. Just trying to figure out a way to get it done.
So wait, hold on a second. You landed in Germany. Where were you before that, right before that?
Ohio. Savannah, Ohio.
And how old were you?
I went from Fort Riley, Kansas to Urbana, Ohio to Einzeltun, Germany.
Wow.
All in third grade.
In third grade.
Jesus.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot for a grown man, let alone a 9-year-old, 8-year-old.
I did the same thing in sixth grade. Sixth grade, I went from Parmesans, Germany to Southside Chicago to Fort Ord, California, all in sixth grade.
Who was supporting you there? I mean, was it mom? Was it dad? Who say, hey, Charles, you can do this. Go make some new friends. It's cool.
Oh, well, you know, I think I take my dad's personality. You know, my dad, he's the kind of guy you can put in a room and everyone will love him. You know, and he gets that from my grandfather, DT. So from that standpoint, there's two things about being a military brat. Either you like it or you love it. I mean, you love it or you hate it. I loved it because it gave me a chance to go around the world. I met people all the time. I got used to it. You hate it is if you're an introvert and you just, you know, to yourself and you're very quiet. Yeah, being a military brat, probably not for you. And my brother and I, we both love traveling, love learning about Germany and different cultures and castles and the food, the festivals, just everything, you know. And I think, yeah, I had a head start on traveling at a young age. I remember when I came back to Germany, or when I came back to the South Side, a kid was like, where are you coming from? I was like, oh, you know, we're going to go to Germany. I just came back to visit some friends, some family. And they asked the question, like, Germany? I was like, yeah, y'all ain't never been to Germany? And I was so young and naive. I thought everyone had been to Germany at least one time because all my friends, you know, we were all 8, 9, 10-year-olds, and their parents had been to Germany. They'd been to Japan. They'd been to Guam, Panama. They'd been a ton of places, Italy. So I didn't think it was far-fetched to not have everyone travel overseas to Europe. I thought it was weird that you didn't go to Europe.
Well, it had to be pretty cool getting all those experiences too at a young age.
I feel like you were ahead of the game, Peanut, because of all of that. Really.
Hey Charles, before we get out of here, where did this video come about? The one where you posted it as your retirement. How did that come about? The Everything Peanut Punch. It was very funny.
Yeah, this me and Spice Adams. And if y'all don't follow that man on Twitter, y'all need to follow him at Spice Adams or Instagram. He's got the best videos.
But he does. He's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, he's
in a good way.
Funny. Yeah. But just him and I, you know, he's the creative genius behind everything. I kind of called him up and just asked him a couple of ideas. Like, yo, man, I'm thinking about doing a video about punching, you know, punching things out of people's hands. And it kind of just went from there.
Favorite memory of being a Chicago Bear?
Favorite memory, Arizona Cardinals game 2006, yeah, when we were losing. That was a best memory as a player. Just that was that was the true definition of team. You know, guys came, we had to overcome some adversity. We were losing 20-0, you know, at halftime, and Olin Kutz came in and told everyone not to panic, but that we were going to win the game. And, you know, we went out, and Bron Urlacher just playing out of his mind. Mark Anderson strips the ball. Mike Brown picks it up, runs it back for a touchdown. Urlacher strips it. I pick it up, run it back for a touchdown. Devin Hester runs it back. Robbie Gould kicks it. We win the game, and it was just, yeah, team at its best.
That's the famed Denny Green game, by the way, for who just passed away this week. Great man and an incredible asset to the NFL, and Denny Green. But that was the Bears are who we thought we were game.
Yep, it was. I think all Bears fans will remember that one for a long time. No question about it.
Peanut, you is it really true that you just woke up one day and you said, you know what, this is it? Is that the deal? And your wife was like, hey, Charles, you can play a couple more years, or at least another season?
Yeah, I think I had come to that. I think I had made the decision a little bit way before she did. And, you know, I talked to her. Yeah, I think I'm going to retire. I think I'm done. And then she was like, no, I think you can still go. And then I was like, okay. And, you know, probably did it about two or three times. And then finally I was like, if I'm having to convince myself that I need to play, chances are I don't need to play. I'm done. So I was like, yeah, let me just – it's time to hang these cleats up, call it a day.
Does she call you Charles?
If you're not 100% committed, it's not worth playing.
Does she call you Charles or Peanut or something else you want to share with us?
Charles, only when she's mad at me. Other than that, it's just Bay. Hey, Bay, like everybody else.
Yeah. Did you really play on a torn ACL this year?
I did. It was partially torn.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I mean, just play the game of football at that level, even a partially torn ACL, that's crazy.
What are your thoughts on Cam? He's always – people have some love him, some don't. What would you say about Cam Newton?
I love him. I got a chance to really know him, and I saw what he was about. So yeah, I'm all for him. He earned everything, all the awards and accolades that he got this year. He earned every last one of them.
Yeah, he did.
Everyone, despite what critics said, and you know the bad press that he got, he earned everything. And yeah. Glad I got a chance to witness it up close.
So now that you're a media man, do you think you'll have trouble being critical? I feel like that's a challenge for players coming right, particularly if you're jumping right into it.
I don't have a problem being critical, but understand that I'm not going to throw another player under the bus. You know, that's one thing I particularly don't like is when, you know, that was the one thing I really didn't like about the media was how critical they were. Like, it's a game, and you got to understand the situation. And I don't know. I feel like I can explain or I can articulate it better just because I played, so I know that situation. I've been in that situation. I respect former players better than I do non-players, whoever played the game. You know, I respect their opinions more. And I don't mind them being more critical than just Joe Schmo, who's never played the game.
I feel you.
That's fair. I understand that.
That's why I think people love Charles, as in Barkley, as in the NBA, because he played and he'll step out, but he does it in a way. And he pisses guys off too. But I think he's fair overall. And if he's wrong, he'll admit it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Charles,
there's a way to talk about people. It's just there's a right and wrong way to do everything. It's just. How do you do it? And I think I can get my point across and not be disrespectful toward a player or a person, but just be fair of them. If Charles Tillman played a bad game, you know, hey, you know, I think, you know, he's a really good player, but hey, man, it's 16 games. You're allowed to have one bad game. He didn't play his best, but I'm sure he'll bounce back next week. You know, I'd say something like that where, oh, this guy is terrible, he's trash, just you should cut him and get rid of him and just abort this contract and just terminate it forever. Like, I'm not going to do anything like that. That's not my style. And I told Fox that, you know, during my interview. Like, if y'all looking for that kind of guy, I'm not your man.
That's cool.
Yeah. How quickly did that come together, Charles? Was it something that was on the table before you retired, or was it as soon as they heard you retired, hey, we want to talk to you?
Just as soon as I retired, and they just initiated the contract, and I happily accepted.
All right. That's cool.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Peanut. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you and seeing you around in the future.
Congrats on a phenomenal career, Peanut. You're the man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I didn't say that.
Maddux won 355 games.
Just because he got the most votes doesn't mean he's the best player of all time.
But that's what the baseball writers are telling you.
Dude, first of all, are you new here? Don't make conclusions off the Baseball Hall of Fame votes. That some of the most ridiculous things in the world.
Are
like,
you,
there are so many.
Are you new here? First of all, I don't know where here is.
Do you pay attention to the Hall of Fame voting every year?
Listen,
there are so many unqualified voters.
Listen, if I walked Bob Nightingale in here, who's got a Hall of Fame vote, who was on the show yesterday, or Peter Gammons or Ken Rosenthal, they're not new here, and they like believe in the hierarchy of the voting.
Like, doesn't Teddy Greenstein have a Baseball Hall of Fame vote? I love Teddy. Teddy's one of my favorite people.
But
he hasn't covered baseball in like 15 years. He shouldn't have a Hall of Fame vote.
I don't know if Teddy does or not. I do know that Teddy was in the parking lot yesterday when I was leaving the show, and he gave me his umbrella to get to my car when it was pouring rain. So thank you to Teddy, who was going to Coldplay with his daughter after stopping at Howells and Hood. Now I'm talking too much about Teddy Greenstein's wife, but you brought it up. It is offensive to me.
Okay.
The guy, when he came to the Reds, was supposed to be the greatest player ever, and he never was on the field. And also, whatever, he was great as a Mariner and early in his career, and then he literally disappeared. Yet, this is the greatest, according to the baseball writers, this is the best player that's ever played.
Do you know what Ken Griffey Jr. did in 1998 while your boy Sammy Sosa was stealing all the headlines on Mark McGwire?
Go ahead. What did he do? Hit 40?
40 home runs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try 56.
Okay, great.
Okay, and not just that. Drove in 146 runs, stole 20 bases. Okay, he batted .284, .365, .610 for an OPS of .977, an OPS plus of .150.
I hate to do what I'm about to do right now, too, but I'll do it anyway.
And he was fourth in the MVP voting with those numbers. Because the Roid Ragers ahead of him were stealing all the headlines.
How do we actually really know who was on it and who wasn't out of
curiosity? Well, here's one way. Why do you think he sucked in his 30s?
Because
he wasn't using HGH to recover and he couldn't get over his injuries like all these other guys.
How about the concept that everybody else got caught and he said, oh my God, I can't do this anymore, and oh my God, I can't be on the field? And I don't know that. I don't want to be in that pond. But, like, who knows what everybody was doing?
Well, I don't know that he didn't use.
But he's, like, widely considered to be somebody who did not use.
And
that's fine. I'm not saying he did.
Because he hasn't been named in it. Look, there's a lot of documents out there that have a lot of names on them. And in my opinion, if you appear on any of those documents, all the the speculation about anybody, whether you played in the 90s, the 70s, the 80s, or even now, we don't know who's using, and this is baseball's fault. But if you look at any guy, and I don't care who you are, what fan you are, if you're like, I can't trust. I don't want to say a name, but you know your favorite baseball player, insert name. I don't necessarily trust him. Then that's fine because that's the cloud that baseball created, and I don't blame any fan for thinking that way.
The guy went home to the Reds. He was going to be the hometown hero. He played 145 games at 30 years old, hit 40 and hit 40 bombs and drove in 118, batted .271. It's a very, very good year. 111 games and 70 games.
This guy's tearing apart Ken Griffey Jr. on the day he's going to the Hall of Fame.
53 games at age 33.
What a jerk.
83 games at age 34. 128 at 35, 109 at 2006. He had 1 year in Cincinnati where he played 144 games.
Okay, Skip Bayless.
Why does that make me Skip Bayless?
Because you sound like hating on LeBron right now.
I'm telling you the stats. I'm giving you facts. Like this.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, of course it matters.
No, it doesn't.
Nothing matters more. Baseball is all about stats. It's all anyone cares about.
So you're punishing a guy. Maybe had the best decade in baseball history, the 90s. 11-time All-Star in 2000. He's 11. He's at the age of 30. He goes to Cincinnati.
All I'm saying is he's not.
And you're going to punish him for the next decade, in which, by the way, he still went to two more All-Star games.
I'm not punishing anyone. I'm just telling you that he's not the greatest player in the history of the game, the way the baseball writers voted him in.
Again, and don't worry about the votes. Those votes are dumb.
I am worried about the votes, and I do think the system should be changed. And this is
I agree with you.
This is I'm knocking down Ken Griffey Jr. to make another point, which is perhaps not exactly. Okay, I should be clear here. The Baseball Hall of Fame and the way they're elected is ridiculous, and Ken Griffey Jr. is a phenomenal example of that. Are we on the same page now? How do you feel about that? Is that better?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Ken Griffey Jr. should have been unanimous.
Well, okay. How about the other guy that's going in today?
Piazza?
Yeah. Rumored.
I agree. I'm not talking about him.
Okay, but every single corner of the world, Mike Piazza's been rumored. Yet he's going in. Yeah. Yet Sammy Sosa gets 9% of the vote.
I agree.
And he had three seasons where he had 60 bombs. If Piazza's going in, then they all should be going.
Well, I'm actually at the point where I think they should all be going in.
What? And that's fine, too. Put it on their plaque. Rumored to have done steroids.
Fine.
Played in the steroid era.
That's what it is, because the pitchers were on it, too. The pitchers were on it. The hitters were on it.
Yeah.
Everyone was on it.
6-4.
Whatever.
Cubs, best team ever.
Cubs now have the lead, 6-4.
White Sox still leading the Tigers 4-0. That game I can't see. In the eighth?
Top eight, I think.
Top eight. White Sox are never going to lose again after the Chris Sale meltdown.
Probably not. I think they're probably going to win the World Series, though.
A Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. You're shaking your head. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing.
Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll actually talk about the Chris Sale trade stuff, which we've been only teasing for an hour.
Great. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Stay dry out there. This is Chicago. Sunny and 1,000 degrees 1 second, pouring rain the next. But you're talented. You know how to do this. Right, Adam Hoge? Give some credit to the people. Are you all right over there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about why the White Sox haven't traded Chris Sale.
Let it out.
Here's the thing. Okay, you have control over him for the next 3 years, right? Through 2019. Mm-hmm. At a very, very affordable rate.
Right.
Okay.
So for
that
you,
just adds to his value so much.
So for you non-diehard baseball fans, imagine you owned a company and you had this incredible asset who's making you tons of money and helping you, I don't know, become more and more wealthy by the day, and you're paying him next to nothing. That's the guy you're getting rid of to make your company even better. Go ahead. That's what it would be.
But when you put it like that, you're making it sound like they shouldn't get rid of him.
No, I'm saying you're leaving
out the part where that your company kind of stinks.
That's true.
And you can make it a lot better if you could bring in 5 really young employees to rejuvenate the place and make it overall a better place. Now, let me get back to the control. That control at that money makes him very, very valuable. We've talked about this a lot. It's been written about, talked about. So every year you don't trade him, you are reducing that value. He's still going to be valuable, but you're reducing it. So maybe it's 5 prospects now. Maybe next year it's only 4, right? Okay.
They want 5 prospects. They stud prospects, too.
Yeah.
We'll see if anybody's willing to give that.
But at the same time, you also have the risk of injury. Let's do some math here. And I'm not saying something bad is going to happen. But let's say the White Sox keep him. And in June next year, he throws out his arm and needs Tommy John. He's not coming back till 2019. So now all of a sudden, he's in the last year of his contract.
Well, the other side of it, too, is, by the way,
And you just lost 2 years, and you're getting nothing back. And at that point, no one's going to trade for him. He's coming back from Tommy John.
Right. And let's say along those lines that you are going to start a rebuild but not trade him. You're going to trade Jose Quintana. Right.
Are you going to be winning by 2019?
Are you going to be winning by 2019? And then you're going to have to pay him a huge amount of, you know, $30 million a year.
The only way you rebuild that quickly to win in 2019 is if you trade Chris Sale and get like five guys back. Otherwise, it's not happening. So once you weigh that, first of all, just that simple idea. If you rebuild, can you win by 2019 in time for Chris Sale and Jose Quintana to still be on the team? And the answer is probably no if you don't trade those two guys. So that fundamentally right there doesn't make sense to me. But then you add in what I just said, the risk of injury. If he gets hurt, and it's a serious hurt, you're not going to have him until 2019 anyway. It's only three more years of control. People act like 2019 is like a decade away. It's three seasons. Guy gets Tommy John in the middle of one season. He's usually not coming back until the following year.
Well, I mean, even
after that following year.
Well, let's do the math here the other way. Let's say he stays healthy. What are the chances that the White Sox are good next year?
Right. Not good. Not high.
Not great.
Or the year after.
Or the
especially if they keep this going.
So,
like this kind of trying to rebuild on the fly. It doesn't work that way.
And Chris Sale, I mean, listen, when in 2019, if you have traded him for, I don't know, three, four, five great players and you're winning and you want to bring him back, you might be able to. You might be. Hey, Chris, we'll pay you the most money of anyone. That's at the end of the day, guys, well, where am I going to play? Who's paying me the most? Most times that's the decision. Zach Greinke leaves the LA Dodgers last year to go play for Arizona. Did he do it because he thought the Diamondbacks were going to win more games? No, they paid him the most money.
But then here's the other part of
Joakim
this.
Joakim Noah goes to the Knicks. He loves the Knicks. Why is he New York offering the most money?
I brought this up earlier in the show. We cannot forget what Chris Sale said about Kenny Williams in March. You know Kenny Williams' ego? You think he's forgotten about it?
No.
No.
But it doesn't. But on that level, it doesn't. It, to me, none of that matters.
It does matter, though.
Why does it matter?
Because people have egos. And that, to me, clearly, he does not have respect for the vice president of the organization. Why do you think he rips up these jerseys and throws a temper tantrum or gets mad at Robin Ventura about, and you were going to get to your list of all the things that he's done in his White Sox career, which aren't major things, but I'll tell you what.
They're kind of
he kind of acted like, I mean, I don't know what Chris Zambrano was doing last night, but that's what you're coming off. You're coming off as a malcontent.
847's texting. Can you please stop whining, Sue B? I think she's talking about you. I think you're whining. You're whining about Chris Sale. What would you want to address, Sue B? Listen, you've been through a lot over there. It's been year
Dude,
after year.
Like I started the show, Sue B.
Sue B says you're whining.
I'm just.
She
tired.
Might be. She might.
I probably am whining. Because this is ridiculous.
Hey Dan, is Adam whining or is she talking about me?
I'm going to stay out of it. You guys interpret
no,
that.
No, Dan, you're a part of the show. Dan, what's your thoughts? Maybe you don't think Adam's whining. Maybe you do think Adam's whining. Is Adam whining?
No, I think everything he's saying is legit.
Oh, so do I. I think Sue B thinks everything's legit, but she just can't handle the whining.
It is whining, probably. But you White Sox fans should be whining. By the way, I want to give our fan base a lot of credit.
Do you?
I go to these games, and everyone who sits there in the seats around my dad, everyone wants a rebuild.
That's the other thing, too. Like,
this fan base, the ones that really know what's going on, they're pretty smart people. And they understand that this isn't working. And they're willing to sit through it. And I keep hearing this stuff about attendance. Oh, you can't afford to rebuild because no one's going to show. No one goes to the games now. Why does that matter?
Wait, hold on. They really don't. But they've done okay as of what they have last night. Feels a decent crowd out there.
I don't know.
And White Sox. I'll double check it.
Well, the Christmas in July brought in a huge crowd on Friday.
There's like two huge rain delays too, wasn't there?
Three. But that's not the White Sox fault. You're right, though. I agree. Listen, they're not going to come out anyway. It doesn't matter. As you know, if you listen to the show, The Beat, 720 WGN, I'm Mark Carmody's Adam Hogue. We love to give things away, and we like to create games to do it. This week's game is a very serious game, so we only need serious contestants and those with an open heart. The greatest fan in the history of this city, Ronnie Woo Woo Wickers.
Oh, God.
Ronnie Woo Woo. We mentioned this at the end of the show yesterday, but we didn't have the proper time just to let it air out here. But Ronnie Woo Woo is on crutches. Woo Woo facing surgery on his left knee, according to Paul Sullivan in the Chicago Tribune, after a nasty spill this week at Wrigley. And I love how Sully writes this. Wickers, who wears a Cubs uniform and shouts, "Cubs Woo," in a routine he began in the Wrigley bleachers in the 1960s, is on crutches, but reportedly feeling better. He might be out of action for 2 to 3 months, according to sources close to Woo Woo. And then he figures, and then he writes,
only 2 months?
There's people like you. Wickers is not employed by the Cubs. All right, so 312-981-7200.
You want to hear the worst place you could ever be stuck?
Behind Ronnie Woo Woo, in front of
Ronnie. Stuck on the red line with Ronnie Woo Woo in your car.
I love it.
No, if our prisons are overcrowded, that's how they should start punishing people.
Just have Woo Woo.
You have to ride the red line with Ronnie Woo Woo.
Hogue Woo, Hogue Woo, Hogue Woo, WGN Woo. 312-981-7200. I have Lou Malnati's gift card for you for the best get well wishes to Ronnie Woo Woo. We're looking for get well wishes to Woo. 312-981-7200. We will send this podcast to Ronnie Woo Woo at ronniewoowickers.com. And so we're looking for people to talk about, you know, how Ronnie Woo Woo has impacted your life, what you'll miss about Ronnie Woo Woo being out the next 2 to 3 months. I mean, what are we at here? That's August, September. He may or may not be back for the playoff push and the World Series game one at Wrigley. And I, you know, to me, I saw Woo Woo.
Maybe he's the reason why the Cubs always lose.
Well, you could have that hypothesis. There are many excuses out there. But I was at the game earlier this week. On Tuesday night, Woo Woo was in attendance. He was in down the left field line in section 201. He was up against like the fence that's not in the bleachers, but up against in the left field in the grandstand. He was up against the fence, and he was healthy. Looked good.
What day was this?
This was Tuesday night.
So when did this nasty fall happen?
I don't know. Sully doesn't let us know in the trib. And again, the best tribute to Ronnie Woo Woo, the best get well Woo Woo, 312-981-7200, we'll give you Lou Malnati's. There's a picture of Woo. he's in a cowboy hat and crutches. And I think he's like coming out.
Oh, he's fine.
He's coming out of the
Illinois. He's in full uniform.
But he's on crutches. 312-981-7200. Lou Malnati's Pizza for the best get well wishes to Woo Woo. Vince, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Vince.
I wish Ronnie any bad luck, Woo Woo, but I'm glad it's out because he's affected my life so much for being at every game I go to, aggravated.
Your cell's breaking up. I think somewhere in there you said that Ronnie Woo Woo has ruined your life.
Oh, yeah, because every game, and I don't wish him any bad luck, but it'll be nice for 3 months for him to be on the DH list. It'll be a peaceful pleasure to go to the games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point.
You
Vince.
Agree with me?
Oh, yes, I do. I definitely do. Mark doesn't, but I do.
Vince, Ronnie Woo Woo, I have it on good accord, is listening right now. Is that now? How the guy's on crutches?
Okay, from your sources, why is he wearing? He doesn't even have a Cubs hat on in the picture. If he's Mr. Cub, I don't mean it like that, but if he's Mr. Ronnie Woo, why does he have a Cub hat on?
Well, he's wearing a blue hat, Vince. He's got the colors.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens, Mark. I know how much you are just going to miss him at the soccer games or tennis games.
Yeah, thank you, Vince.
Vince, you keep up the enjoyable, quiet, peace and quiet now at the games. I genuinely hope you take advantage of it because it's not going to last very long.
Vince,
you'll probably be back before we know it. Our luck.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Vince. Love you.
Don't hang up on me, Mark. I think I'm in the lead to win.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to put you. I'll just put you on hold. 312-981-7200.
I think he is winning.
He's the only call we've gotten so far for Woo Woo. I thought that people would storm.
No, people don't like Ronnie Woo Woo.
312-981-7200. Who loves Woo? There's got to be.
Dude, he shows up at Sox games. Full uni.
Yeah.
Going Cubs. Woo!
What's
Cubs.
Wrong?
Woo! Dude, they're playing the Royals tonight. The Cubs aren't here.
But the Cubs are
You're just here driving people insane. Go away.
Let's see. Text line 224. Hey, the Cubs are playing somewhere. And he's there to support. If he can't be at a Cub game, he's going to go to Sox Park. If somebody gives him a Sox Park, he's gonna show up. 224, Ronnie Woo Woo is way more fun than drunk idiots. 224.
Whoa.
312. Yoo-hoo, Ronnie Woo Woo with a boo-boo.
Has anyone ever seen Ronnie Woo Woo at the corner of Clark and Division?
630. Yeah, done with Woo Woo. I don't. This is depressing. This is the great. This are you, name a better fan in the history of this city than Ronnie Woo Woo.
Mark Carmen.
No, this guy's been on the L track since the 60s.
Are there any Cubs fans standing outside the Showcase Studio right now? You're a better fan than Ronnie Woo Woo. Congratulations, you are.
312-981-7200. Apparently, everybody hates Woo. Coach, don't derail this show, Coach. You love Ronnie Woo Woo, don't you?
I don't know. It's a train going off. I don't know if I can stop the derailment, but I absolutely love her. I love Ronnie Woo. I can't understand all the negativism. I'm depressed enough that people are supporting Donald Trump, and now the country, the city, is turning on Ronnie Woo Woo? Come on.
It turned a long time ago, Coach.
Oh, part of the very fabric of the city of Chicago, part of the Cubs. The Schwarber injury was depressing, but the Woo injury is possibly even more disconsolidating.
Right? Schwarber equals Woo. I feel you. Coach, you're old enough that you can remember Superfan from back in the Bulls days. The guy would run around the court. He was a fat slob. You actually lost weight eventually. I mean, that's the only guy I could think that's in contention with Ronnie Woo Woo for the greatest fan this city's ever seen.
I think his name was Jeff Blaze or something like that. Superfan was great, too. You got to love people like that.
Yeah. All right, Coach. I got a ton of calls. We love you.
Love Woo.
My dad just reminded me, texted me. He said that Ronnie Woo Woo ruined your autographed glove.
He did?
I had like a glove signed by Harry Carey and Ron Santo and Ryan Sandberg. Ryan Sandberg signed that glove. And then, you know, I'm a kid, and apparently Ronnie Woo Woo signed it and ruined it.
Hey, Vince.
Which I kind of think is on my dad.
Yes.
You're not winning. I'm hanging up on you.
You can't, Mark.
Like, I love you.
Mark, don't. You can't.
Right, bye-bye, Vince. Coach is ahead of you, Vince. And we got calls. Let's see. 630, bring back the kissing bandit. 708, Woo Woo is the second greatest of all time that's not allowing the Cubs to win the World Series. There's the Ronnie Woo Woo curse.
I don't think that was GOAT as in greatest of all time. I think that was
the actual GOAT. Okay. I see GOAT. I think
like an actual GOAT.
My bad. 847. We love you, Ronnie. Woo woo. You're a true blue fan. Woo. Dave, give Ronnie Woo Woo your love. He's listening somewhere in Woo Woo land. Dave?
Yeah, bye, Dave.
All right, Dave.
See, the world does not want the love.
Yes, they do. 312-981-7200. Joe loves Woo. Don't you, Joe?
Yeah, I love Woo. I think Woo's a unique individual who's made his niche in life. I think he's the Cubs version of Andy, the late, great Andy the Clown. You know, the super fan and doesn't get paid to show up. Isn't officially the mascot, but it's sort of the unofficial mascot. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Right.
And I hope he gets better. I buy him a double cheeseburger every time I see him in the Billy Goat.
Oh, that's cool.
And hey, Joe, you're the man. Hang on, you might get something back on that double cheese.
Yeah.
Just, you know, that's like a $6 double cheese, and Woo's like lives at the Goat. Every time I go in the Goat, Woo's walking around looking for somebody to buy him something. Which is kind of sad, but
look, we're having some fun here. But I actually respect someone trying to help him out.
Yes,
that's cool.
So hang on, Joe. Here's Rose. She doesn't like Ronnie Woo Woo. Go ahead, Rose.
Hi. Can't remember when. Maybe 35 years ago at Wrigley Field, waiting for some playoff tickets with all my friends. We're 20 years old. We're drinking. We're outside the stadium. We're walking around. Sleeping bags. Go to 7-Eleven to get a Coke. Come back to the site. My friends put Ronnie Woo Woo in my sleeping bag. I vomited all over my bag.
He
Ronnie
did?
Ronnie Woo Woo. Yes, he did. I hate Ronnie Woo Woo.
Ronnie Woo Woo vomited
true
in your sleeping bag?
True story. True story. I hated them. I hate him. I hate everything about him. That is a true story.
Rose, do you feel
35 years ago?
Do you feel better now that you got that out? Like, listen, Ronnie had, you can respect that. Rose, he had a little too much drinking. He got, and then all of a sudden he laid down.
My friends deliberately put him in my bag. That was the gag. That was it. They were going to put him in my bag. It was a joke, and he went for it, and he barfed all over my bag.
Rose,
I hate Ronnie Woo Woo.
You've made that clear. Okay.
I think Rose wins.
No, Rose.
I do win. No,
well, you've already won, but
don't you feel bad for a sleeping bag?
No, that's not the spirit of this game.
I don't feel bad for him at all.
Rose, we love you. Thank
you.
We
love you too. Bye.
All right, Rose. Ronnie Woo Woo barfed.
It's like the greatest story I've ever heard.
Ronnie Woo Woo barfed in Rose's sleeping bag. You should have that frame, Rose, encased. Keep it for life. The Woo barf. Congratulations. I think we should carry this over one more second. Maybe Vito wants to give love. Trish wants to give love.
That's fine.
312-981-7200. There's some interesting texts coming along here. The greatest fan ever is on crutches.
Why are there still texts coming in about Adam LaRoche?
I don't know the answer to that. But this is 720 to WGN. Talking about one of the greatest fans in the history of this city, Ronnie Woo Woo. 847 Sue B was complaining about you whining, texting, and again, a loyal Woo fan for Woo 50 years. Fix up that knee.
By
woo
the way, she did
come back soon. Woo.
She did clarify that it was me
yeah
who was whining.
Yeah, I had a hunch on that one.
That's fine.
Face it, Woo is embarrassing from the 708.
708, give him a 20, he'd go away.
That's not nice.
It's also true.
Oh boy. Yeah, no. Listen, Woo wants to be your friend. He's not about the dough. This guy's in the trenches. He'll wear a...
How does he get in the games?
People randomly give Woo tickets is how I'm guessing that goes down.
Can you stop that, please? Especially on the South Side.
No, that's a Cub fan who wants Ronnie Woo to come into the South Side and annoy the living bejesus out of you.
It works.
I mean, there's nothing better. Let's see. Joe's on hold, right? We already talked to Joe. Mark's got a Ronnie tribute. Let's hear it, Mark.
Cubs, woo! Ronnie, woo! Get, woo! Well, woo! Soon, woo! 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 Cross, woo! You need it, woo!
Hang on, Mark.
As if I wasn't annoyed enough, David Robertson just blew the game in the ninth inning for the White Sox.
No, he didn't. Oh, my God, it's tied at 4. Did he give up 3?
I don't know.
We'll update that in a second.
This is my own personal hell right now. You got callers coming in doing Ronnie Woo Woo, and the White Sox are blowing a save in the ninth.
Jarrett Saltalamacchia just came across to score. It's David Robertson. Like, everyone's like, all right.
We're trying to trade you. Don't blow the save.
Right, now we're selling off. We got to get rid of Robertson. Let's trade Robertson. Is anybody giving up anything for David Robertson? He's overpaid and like not good.
I wanted to throw him in the Chris Sale trade. I was going to send him to the north side.
Trish, more importantly, let's get back to Ronnie Woo Woo, who's injured. If you're just joining us, we're doing a tribute to Ronnie. He's going to get this podcast. The best get well wishes to Ronnie Woo Woo wins Lou Malnati's Pizza. Trish, you're up.
Okay. Get well woo! Get well woo! Get well woo!
I quit.
That was great. Trish, can you do that one more time, please?
Absolutely. Get well woo! Get well woo! Get well woo!
Hang on, Trish. All right, our final contestant is Jim, who's got a get well woo. Go ahead, Jim.
Get woo, well woo, crutches, woo, Ronnie, woo, busted, woo, leg, woo, Cubs, woo, world, woo, theory, woo, busted, woo, leg, woo, Ronnie, woo, dead, woo, better, woo, blown, woo, leg, woo, feel.
All right, Jim, that was outstanding. Okay, let's do votes here. I'm voting for Jim. I mean, he incorporated crutches and woo.
I still think Rose should win.
Who?
Rose.
Oh, Rose.
She had her sleeping bag puked on that. By Ronnie Woo Woo. How do you beat that?
Dan, who do you got?
I also, if Rose would have stayed on the line, I would have given her something. We got
Dan,
something to give her.
You're a hater, too?
As of right now, I'm digging Jim, though, for my official vote.
It is a good effort, Jim.
All right. Good. Jim, that was strong. And
Texters are saying Rose, too.
Texters are one Texter.
I'm Team Rose. I'm Team Rose.
That's Rose texting.
You can be Team Woo.
Jim, you got it, man. And Rose, for the Ronnie Woo Woo haters, you're the winner on that one. But I can't.
I'll save a slice for Rose.
All right, there you go. All right, Jim, hang on. Hey, Joe, thanks a lot, man. Great effort. Yeah, Joe's upset. Hey, Trish, great effort.
They don't want to talk
Trish
to you, Mark.
Is upset.
Stop it.
I love this. Hey, Mark, great effort.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you, brother. There we go.
All right, bye.
Good man.
He ruined my glove. He ruined the Rose's sleeping bag.
Somebody should name a Chinese dish after him, like Moo Goo Woo Woo from the 214. I don't know if that sounds appetizing to anyone, but I think that Ronnie, like, there should be like at least one sandwich store in the city should step up and have the Ronnie Woo Woo special.
There probably is one.
Like the Ronnie Woo Woo taco, the Ronnie Woo Woo hot dog. I don't know why.
Do we have to break here?
We do. We do.
Can we please do that?
Jim, congratulations.
I can't handle this.
Hey, Ronnie, just we're breaking, but I just want to let you know that I want you to get well, man. We'll see you in the World Series. You're the man.
If he shows up for the World Series and then the Cubs lose the World Series, you deserve that.
There is great. He's going to be there, and I'll take him on. There's breaking news in the Olympics, which is. You apparently can't go to the bathroom at the Olympics, which is going to be fun just in the 5 o'clock hour at some point. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Just in case you need a reminder why the win stat in baseball is dumb.
The which stat? The win?
The win. Wins and losses for pitchers?
Oh, for pitchers. Okay.
Sorry, I should have clarified that.
I was like, last time I checked, even with all the seam head outs, their winning does matter. But okay, yes, for a pitcher,
the
right?
The win-loss record for pitchers. The closer, who just gave up 3 home runs in the ninth inning, just got the W for the White Sox.
That's a very valid point right there.
And the guy,
David Robertson, the win. He's 2-2. Way to go.
And the guy who pitched amazing today for most of the game, Jose Quintana, he gets nothing. But cool stat, baseball. Way to go.
Well, that's not baseball's fault.
And you know that David Robertson won 2 games today?
That's a hell of a day for David Robertson.
He got 2 wins today because he also pitched the one inning of the game that got suspended last night that they had to finish today.
Right.
He came in, pitched, and got that victory, too.
So Adam Eaton had a walk-off in game one of the suspended game. That was about 1:30 today. And then Adam Eaton scores the game-winning run of the regularly scheduled game today. And the White Sox, back in the race.
They're going to totally win seven games in a row and not sell.
I don't think that's going to happen, but you
do
never know.
Do you think they're
gonna baseball's a funny game?
Do you think they're going to trade either Quintana or sell?
Nope. No, I do not.
Jesus.
But what do I know? I think that Rick Hahn. Well, it's great that he stepped up to the plate this week, right, and had this press conference and said we're mired in mediocrity and all that type of stuff. Okay, that's cool. Actions do speak louder than words. What are you going to do? I mean, what does that look like? Have some vision. See your future, be your future. Quit trying to be this middle-of-the-road average organization that somehow draws 30,000 fans and has cool promotional nights and good guys wear black. Why don't you shoot for the whole thing and try to be world class, right? I mean, they play small. They really do. Like, why don't you have a big vision for where you're going?
No, it's a great point.
You know?
And that's really, I think that's all White Sox fans want right now, is some kind of direction. An organizational atmosphere where your star pitcher isn't cutting up uniforms in the clubhouse, throwing a temper tantrum.
Very entertaining, though. Way to go! Out of nowhere, it was a great.
Can you think about that story? Like, think about that story. That happened. Actually happened.
It is unbelievable. It's unprecedented. Really,
how can an owner look down on that and be okay with it? I mean, okay, yeah, I'm sure he's not happy. Cool. But this is the same organization that let this guy say all the things he did back in March with no punishment.
Yeah.
Where can you call your boss out like that and not get punished?
Well, so, okay, let's go back in time. When he's calling Kenny Williams a bald-faced liar.
This is what happened to the Bears in 2014. There was no accountability.
That's a good comparison.
And more stuff kept happening because of it. Now, okay, yeah, you suspended a pitcher for 5 days, and technically all it is he's skipping a start, and he'll be out there Thursday night against the Cubs. Like, at least they did something this time. But
6-3-0, I'm sorry to interrupt. Sox should have torn sweatshirt night.
Did they still do the giveaway?
Which one?
The jersey giveaway. Wasn't it a giveaway, too?
I know. Were they giving away?
I think they were going to be giving away the jerseys.
I think they did. Yeah, they gave away those 76 ones that Sale doesn't like
last night.
Yeah,
yeah. So how many of those? Yeah, how many of those do you think will be torn up in this Cubs Sox series this week? Like, someone's going to be. You know, there's going to be some Cubs fan
with a
wearing
Sale
that,
with a 49
like,
ripped
up.
That'd be so good. I'm excited. Listen, it starts tomorrow. White Sox are coming in off a 2 walk-off wins. Cubs are hopefully going to be coming down from Milwaukee after a W. They're up 6-4, go to the bottom of the ninth. You're not one of those people over there that, I hate Cubs Sox. They shouldn't play it more than, they should only be one series a year. Two games is enough.
I like it.
Like, why would you not want the Cubs to play the White Sox? We have interleague. If there's going to be interleague play, 2 series every year, 3 games each on a weekend. 1 on the north side, 1 on the south side.
Well, I understand why it has to be this way with the way the interleague works now, where it has to be 2-2 in just a 4-game series. Except for like last year when it was 3-3 because the two divisions were actually playing each other. But it should be on the weekend.
This should be
a Thursday through Sunday series.
They could figure it out. 3-game series. Cubs, White Sox, Mets, Yankees.
The schedule has to be balanced.
They can. Come on. Just figure it out. Get it done. It's 162 games. The Cubs and White Sox can play each other six times a year.
The schedule is the way it is for a reason.
No schedule. There's no such thing as a balanced schedule. Certain teams are hot 1 year. Certain teams are not. You have no idea what's going to happen. Cubs and White Sox should play each other once in June, once in July, or what? I don't care. July and August, something like that. 3-3 every single year.
I don't think that matters the amount of games as much as it should always be on the weekend. That I agree with. This Monday through Thursday night game nonsense.
Yeah, I'll tell you again.
Yeah, it's not sold out, right?
It's not. I was at Wrigley earlier this week. Picking up.
Wait, even the games at Wrigley aren't?
No, I was at Wrigley.
Wow.
To get some September tickets for a buddy of mine. And somebody walked up right next to me. Can I get tickets for Cubs Sox on Wednesday night? Where do you want to sit? So I'm sure you can go online right now. Where do you want to sit? Well, the thing is, they're the premium, most expensive game. So field box seat at Wrigley, which is, you know, lower level, 100, $180 a ticket. $180 a ticket?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
That's insane.
Like, that's crazy. And I mean, I guess maybe last minute people will pay it, or they've paid in advance. $180 a ticket? Excuse me? Because I think it's $160 plus the tax, $180. $360?
And that's great. Listen, come on. And then we've had this conversation before about the concessions, too, and I know your thought on it. Don't buy it. But I'm at the game on Friday night. It was very hot. I had my 2-year-old son there. We had to buy a bottle of water. It was just that time. It had to happen. It cost $5.50.
Couldn't you have brought water with you?
$5. Yes, in hindsight, we could have. But the, you know what? The Weather Channel app said that it was going to be 80 degrees. It was 88, 89, and with the humidity, I swear it was getting hotter. We were there at 10 o'clock at night, and it was like, I thought I was in the sun.
Listen, $5.50 for water is outrageous.
It's outrageous. Look, whatever you feel about buying concessions, not buying them, but it's water. It's the most basic, fundamental thing we need to live, and it's hot out. And you're charging $5.50 for a bottle. I could go buy two cases at a Jewel.
It ain't any cheaper.
For that much.
It ain't any cheaper at Wrigley either, by the way.
Oh, I know. Boy, come on.
But I look at it like, well,
water should be $2.
How much should a hot dog be?
$2.
Okay, there's like $6.50 now.
Oh, I know. Dude, if you took a case of water, actually, I saw a guy on the street when I was driving here. He was selling out a cooler for $1 a pop, right? And he's turning that $3 case of water into $24. That's a great profit. Good for him. That's for $1 a bottle. So you would sell a lot of water if it was only $1. You could still make a good profit.
Well, that's another argument there, Adam. If you maybe you can talk to former vendor manager over at White Sox, who couldn't stand me, actually liked me, but just was always, Carmen, have you shaved? Did you shave today? Can you go shave? I'm a vendor. Why do I need to shave for these people? Are you kidding me? Like, it would be
a Reinsdorf policy, right?
Right, it's a Reinsdorf policy. Like, I would have but what I have right now, which is barely anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't have you out there like that. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm selling beer.
Right.
Is this a joke?
So they care about you being shaved.
Yes.
But they don't care that they're giving away orange hats against the Orioles.
Correct.
Okay.
That's absolutely correct.
Cool.
All right, Craig. Okay, Craig. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number here. We were talking about the Crosstown Classic, and I like it. Apparently, Craig doesn't. Go ahead, buddy.
I couldn't care less about it. I mean, the White Sox, they're not a rival to the Cubs. The White Sox are as irrelevant as 30-day-old pasta. It just gives their silly fans something to cheer about in the dull, drab life.
Okay.
That they have.
Hey, Craig, let me stop you right there. Do you realize how much anger you have for the White Sox right there?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously they do matter to you a lot.
No, I don't. But then I don't want them. I'd rather have them play the Cardinals or the Mets more or the Pirates more. Mm. The White Sox, I mean, boring.
So maybe you're scared the Sox are going to beat the Cubs?
Oh, a little, I guess.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Thanks, right. Greg.
At least he
admitted. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean,
that guy really wants the Cubs to sweep the White Sox.
We don't,
like that guy was the definition of a rivalry.
That was the definition of people who hate Cubs. Oh, I hate it. I can't say. It's because you're terrified of losing. Like, there's something in you that is just, fearful of the games. And believe me, I can tell you, the White Sox have won 55, the Cubs have won 49. I hate that from a Cub fan standpoint.
Dude, you know what's going to happen this week. The White Sox are going to sweep the Cubs.
They might.
They're going to aggravate both fan bases this week. Because we don't trust this organization to sell. They're going to win 7 games in a row, not sell. Guarantee it. Meanwhile, Cubs fans like freak out over every loss. And good, you're in a pennant race, and I love it. That's fun, dude. I thought Cubs fans were gonna start jumping off the upper deck last night at Miller Park because they were so mad. Dude, it's a one game. It happens. You lose in baseball sometimes. John Lackey didn't have it.
Cub fans will get. They'll either do one of two things. They'll get all elitist on it and be like, "Yeah, it doesn't matter. We're the best team in baseball," or they'll be weeping. One of the two. There's like no in between.
By the way, Kirk Nieuwenhuis just hit a home run, and it's 6-5.
Kirk Nieuwenhuis is a Brewer. Cubs are up by a run. No problem. There's two outs in the ninth. Hector Rondon, if you go all David Robertson and give up back-to-back shots, I'm walking off the show. You can finish it off. All right, learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Actually, that homer brings up a question I want to ask you coming back here on the Cubs, on the Cubs closer situation. 720 WGN.
So,
Cubs win 6-5. They hold on in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I believe Chris Sale has released a statement through his agent to Jason Stark at ESPN, maybe. I'm trying to find the whole thing here.
While you're doing...
Yeah, give me a second to find this whole thing here.
Okay. Here's my question, as Adam is looking that up, and so I'll just put it out to you. The Chicago Cubs have a very good closer in Hector Rondon. He is... been in tight situations like last year against the Giants with the bases loaded, really when the season changed and he got out of it, struck out the side, I believe, and he was phenomenal in the playoffs, but he gave up a homer today. He had a blown save last week, but he's very good. I'm not making this out like Hector Rondon isn't a strong piece, but there is a piece out there, ESPN, doesn't matter. MLB trade rumors, everyone. Aroldis Chapman of the New York Yankees is going to get traded.
Yeah.
He's a free agent at the end of the year. The Yankees have been playing better as of late. But this is a guy, if you don't know, he's a left-hander. He used to be with the Reds. Most people do, but just in case you don't. He throws 105 miles an hour at times. At least he did this week. However, he also was in a domestic battery situation where he was never charged. Baseball suspended him, but he was never charged. He allegedly choked his girlfriend and fired 8 shots into the air. Okay. Now the New York Yankees went ahead and traded from him from Cincinnati. They delayed for a second when the report came out, but they decided a week later to go through with the deal. And he's been very good for him, but he's a piece at the luxury. Now he's out there. And the Cubs can get him if they want. But if you trade for a guy like that and things go exactly as you want them to go, that guy is on the mound in game whatever of the World Series, 5, 6, 7, 4-game sweep, whatever. And he's the dude that's throwing the pitch and jumping up and down if and when you finally end the curse. Now, do you want...
That's an interesting way of thinking about it.
Right?
That's very good.
I mean, it's not just like it's some guy that's off the bench and you might see him. You're going to see him at the most important part if it goes the way you want it to go.
Now I don't necessarily – I don't think that Bobby Jenks ever did anything like that, but Bobby Jenks wasn't exactly a saint. He had plenty of his issues, and that was somewhat of a redemption story. I'm not saying that you can really be redeemed from doing something as horrific as Aroldis Chapman was accused of doing, but I
I'm not endorsing either. But there are second chances.
Yeah, there are second chances, and as long as he learned from it and goes on the rest of his life, and
if there
is very respectful to women, who knows? But
sure.
then I guess my point is, and then the part you brought up isn't necessarily, all that bad. But if this becomes the Ray McDonald, if you bring the guy in and then he just gets in trouble once again, then that reflects very poorly. And let's say it's next year. Let's say your scenario that you just brought up, That's how it goes. You win the World Series. He's the guy that threw the pitch. He's the guy that everyone's mobbing at the middle of the field. Everyone's happy. And then 2 months go by and he's in trouble again.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of fans would be like, oh, if it's the difference in the Cubs winning the World Series and not winning the World Series, let's say Hector Rondon blows a save in the NLCS and it ends up costing him a chance to go, and you could have had Aroldis Chapman, but you decided not to do it because of either A, you thought the price was too prohibitive to make the trade, or B, you just didn't want to take him because of moral issues, then there will be people like, hey man, it's professional sports, just go out there and win. The other side of it is like, hey, I have some morals here. This dude had a huge incident where he's firing shots into the air and he's choking women, allegedly. Not a guy that I want on my team. Well, I'll roll with Hector Rondon, man. I'll roll with Pedro Strop, Travis Wood, whoever. Our bullpen will take our chances. I mean, I don't really even have a, like, in an ideal world, I would say don't bring him in. You don't want him. But I'm like, to be honest, I'm conflicted on it, because the guy is that good.
And he can help you win a World Series.
I
think Josh Reddick would be a great addition for you guys.
Well, they're supposedly talking to Reddick, too, plays for the A's, and yeah. Theo's got history. 312-981-7200 is curious if people would want Chapman on the team.
Here is the statement from Chris Sale's agent, B.B. Abbott, to Jason Stark of ESPN. Abbott told... Here, I'll just read this word for word from Jason Stark. Chris Sale's agent, B.B. Abbott, told me Sunday that Sale has talked at length with general manager Rick Hahn about Saturday's incident, that the club understands Sale's first priority is winning, and that as long as both sides agree on that, there, quote, will not be an issue once Sale returns from his suspension. Quote, the only thing that matters to Chris Sale is winning, Abbott said. If he perceives that something is distracting from that or being prioritized over that, he is going to have a problem with it. There is no better teammate or competitor than Chris, and there is no player that cares more about the city of Chicago and its fans than him. As long as everyone can agree with those sentiments, Abbott went on, and putting winning and the White Sox fans first, there will never be a problem between Chris and anyone on the staff or in the front office. I think Chris has been very clear on that subject, and it was well received. He now wants to focus on his team, teammates, and the task at hand, helping the White Sox win ball games. And there's one more quote. I honestly don't think there are fences to mend, Abbott said. He has been with the organization since he was drafted. The entire organization knows the fiber of Chris Sale. They understand the passion and fierce competitive nature. If they are on board with prioritizing winning, there will not be an issue at all.
All right, and he probably knows better than me, but you can go 2012. Chris Sale went over Robin Ventura's head when Ventura moved into the bullpen, calling Kenny Williams to dispute the move. Afterwards, Williams said Sale was adamant about it to the point where he almost crossed the line. That was 2012. You had the incident in 2014 with the Tigers. Day after the benches cleared, Robin Ventura was shot back at Brad Ausmus in response to the Tigers' comments about Chris Sale being a little weak for drilling Victor Martinez, who he thought was stealing signs. Yeah. All right? According to a team source, both Sale and Ventura got into it in Ventura's office while Paul Konerko was meeting the media in the Sox dugout. Sale was originally upset with the comments from Ausmus calling him weak, and so he had a blowout with Robin Ventura. That was 2014. He also had a moment with an intentional walk, if you may remember, in 2013. This was also against the Tigers. He was asked to walk Miguel Cabrera intentionally. Don Cooper comes out to the mound. Chris Sale's got his mitt in front of his face, and he's just profanity after profanity going, and then eating his mitt because he didn't like the fact that he had to, you know, was told by Robin Ventura to go ball four.
There's a lot of incidents, and based on that statement from his agent, that sounds like a guy who does not want to go through a rebuild. He basically said, as long as winning is a priority, we won't have these incidents. But if it's not, we will. That's what his agent basically just said in that statement.
That makes sense.
So are the White Sox going to sell or not? Because, once again, if they're going to sell, they need to trade Chris Sale. But that statement right there is Exhibit A, why you cannot go through a rebuild with Chris Sale on the team. He's not going to be happy about it. And then, like all the stuff I said earlier, are you really going to be back to win by 2019 when he's still on your roster? Probably not.
Spoke to him again this morning to inform him of the discipline. We spoke for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes this morning. Had a very calm and rational discussion about the events. And while he may not have agreed with the club's perspective on this either yesterday or with the discipline, he understood where we're coming from and why.
That's funny. While he may not have agreed with the club's perspective. I'd hire Rick Hahn to do my taxes, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, I'd like to see Rick Hahn oversee a rebuild. I think his hands have
been...
I've said this many times. I think his hands have been tied. I think he's a good baseball mind. And I would guess that he's frustrated.
I agree with you. Give him a shot to rebuild the roster. I'd have no problem with that.
This is an interesting tweet coming from Kenny Ducey, at Kenny Ducey, who writes for Sports Illustrated and Baseball Prospectus. Cubs shortstop, is it Glaber?
Glaber. Cubs prospect.
Cubs shortstop. Glaber Torres, one of their top prospects. A reported Yankees trade target has been scratched from tonight's lineup at High A Myrtle Beach.
Ooh.
Interesting, as we just talked about Aroldis Chapman in the last segment. That's a high price to pay, but I would do it.
So a stud shortstop prospect for a superstar reliever who's got issues, or at least has had issues with women, who throws 105 miles an hour. I would think there'd be more in the deal if they were making... I think the Cubs maybe would get a pitching prospect as well, if you're really giving up somebody who could be in the middle of your infield playing shortstop for many, many years to come. Aroldis Chapman would be a rental for the Cubs. They're not going to go out and pay him $15 million a year, whatever it would be, to be the closer. He's a free agent. So there would have to be more in that deal, but I think it's possible.
Can I need to bring up a guy named Kyle Schwarber.
Okay, go ahead.
I think Kyle Schwarber is going to make to be a very good Major League Baseball player. Okay, let me say that. I think he's going to be a very good Major League Baseball player. I like him a lot. I do not understand Cubs fans' obsession about not letting him go in a trade that could possibly win you the World Series. Now, if you're talking a two-month rental on a reliever, okay, I get it. But still, I would think about it. If you're talking about a guy like Chris Sale, absolutely, I would trade him. Here's the deal. Kyle Schwarber only had 232 at-bats last year. He has 236 Major League at-bats. That is still a small sample size. And by the way, his WAR last year, as good as he looked, and everyone loved him, and he was certainly great in the playoffs, no question. His WAR was only 1.2. That's not even starter level. Okay?
I can't get involved in a WAR stat.
Okay, fine. My point, though, is he has no position in the National League.
Outfield?
He's already gotten hurt. You were maybe the first person and the person who most emphatically came out and blamed him for getting hurt. Blamed his lack of instincts in the outfield.
His experience,
for at least
yes.
Contributing to his injury. So you've already seen him suffer catastrophic knee injury because he can't really play the outfield. He's certainly not a catcher. This guy is an American League baseball player, and he's had a small sample size. He is not a sure thing. He's also already 23. He's going to be 24 next year.
That's nothing.
But he's also not like a 19-year-old prospect, is my point.
All right, well, here.
Like, Ken Griffey Jr. came up when he was 19.
Okay.
He's not, like, going to be a Hall of Famer, most likely. We don't know that.
Let me give you my reasoning why.
Let me put it this way. He's much more likely to be a Hall of Famer in the American League than a National League, I think.
There's a lot to cover here. Number one, before he got hurt in the outfield, I thought that Kyle Schwarber, for how limited he's played out there, I thought he did a pretty good job last year. In the Mets series, he had a couple bad plays. But outside of that, I thought he was credible. And he certainly has the want to work at it.
But so he's only going to slow down as he gets older.
That's fine, but I still think he can be a corner outfielder.
Not going to be much range there.
Left field. He can play left field. No, it's not going to be great, but I think he can play left. The other side of it, more importantly than anything else, What do you hear every time Kyle Schwarber is mentioned with the Cubs? It's nonstop love from Theo.
Oh, I know it is.
Okay. But so here. Yeah. So Theo keeps, I mean, like, people who barely even pay attention to the Cubs know that Theo Epstein loves Kyle Schwarber. Theo Epstein has orchestrated a rebuild unprecedented for the Cubs, even though they haven't, I mean, they haven't won it yet, but to advance to the NLCS last year and beat the St. Louis Cardinals and have all this talent. I mean, Theo Epstein has the trust of everyone in the city. And Theo Epstein is sitting there saying that we love Kyle Schwarber and we're not going to trade Kyle Schwarber. So it's like, if you marched Theo down Michigan Avenue and said, who's with Theo? I mean, it would be a herd of millions. I mean, he's, whatever that guy says, people are going to follow, right? I mean, he probably has more juice in this city. We did this for a second yesterday. Stan Bowman, who's won 3 Stanley Cups. Theo's won none, but like, you know, Stan inherited some pretty good players in Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and company. Not to take anything away. Theo started from death and completely built it up. The guy is, I think the Schwarber thing, as far as like Cub fans not wanting to trade him, is like, well, Theo says he's great.
Okay, that's a good point. I mean, they really, and I don't blame him, by the way. I worship Theo too,
right,
from the South Side.
That's the thing. Like,
I mean, he's
like, that's the thing. Sox fans would run behind Theo.
Yeah. No, he, and so I get, but I'm trying to look at this logically, and if you're, and first of all, I trust Theo to it, whoever he ends up trading, I trust him that it's going to be the right call, right? He's going to pick I just look at this logically, and to me, he's an American League player. I just, if you can win the World Series this year, losing Kyle Schwarber is not going to be the end of the world. And I would almost rather trade him than, I don't know.
Than Gleyber Torres?
Than certainly Wilson Contreras. Who would you rather have between the two of them?
That's hard.
Contreras or Schwarbs?
Probably Contreras.
I would too. He looks like he's...
The guy's out of his mind.
He can play. He's like,
did you see the throw from the corner on Friday night?
Insane.
If you missed that, Wilson Contreras, who's going to be the Cubs catcher, was playing left field. Picked up a ball in the left field corner on the warning track and threw it to home plate on a fly.
Yeah.
Like, that's Bo Jackson athletic stuff.
One thing I got to point out for Miller Park last night that I loved, I don't know if you saw this tweet. I looked up at the scoreboard. You know how they have the lineup up there? On most scoreboards these days, the lineup's always up there constantly.
Of course.
And usually they have the batting average right next to it, right? So I look up, and every average next to the name is like 700. 800, 900. I'm like, wait, what? And then I see they're showing OPS.
Ugh, that's so bad.
Why is that bad?
Because nobody knows what it means.
OPS at this point is pretty standard. It's on base plus slugging. And it is way more valuable.
No one knows what slugging is.
It's total bases.
No
it's
one
understands.
No one understands that.
How many bases? This is the value of the hit you're getting. It's not that hard.
Informal text poll right now, 312-981.
Would you rather see batting average or OPS on the scoreboard?
312. Okay. 312-981-7200. Informal text poll. Batting average or OPS? And I know the C-Meds out there. Are you kidding? You don't know OPS? What about OPS Plus? Let's get W. This audience, WGN, I love you so much. I guarantee you they're with me.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, come on. OPS. He's got a great OPS. I love his BABIP, though, in August is down from his BABIP in May. I'm Tim Kirchin, ESPN. Actually, it was more Jeremy Schapp.
I thought you were doing Connor McKnight.
I was not doing Connor.
Talking about BABIP.
I miss Connor. It was actually, Connor would have loved our Ronnie Woo Woo discussion.
Oh, yeah, he would. He would have been on my side.
He despises for Ronald
sure.
Woo.
Hey, one more quick observation, too, before we go to a break here. Is there something in baseball this year that we haven't heard a lot of at all?
Okay.
And it results from a decision that was made in the offseason. Should I tease this or should I just give it to you right
now?
One
of the great teases. Let's do it coming back.
Okay.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Say it again. Say it one more time.
Okay. There's
something in baseball
that we've seen a lot of in recent years. We're not seeing this year. And it's because of an easy, no-brainer change that was made in the offseason.
Best tease in the history of radio right there.
I'll tell you what it is when we come back. It's 720 WGN.
I got a White Sox fan texting me so much hate. He's down on you, too.
Down on me?
Yeah, you call yourself a Sox fan.
What'd I do wrong?
Well, you're just killing on the team. He wants positivity from you.
Why? How?
Because you're a Sox fan. But you need to be positive.
What's positive? I was positive. I said they're going to win 7 games in a row and not sell.
Yeah.
We'll see you next year in the same. Exact spot.
He's a Sox fan that wants to hold on to 2005 and point out that the Cubs fans relish in the identity of losing and we remember all the losses. Which is, by the way, it's perfect for Cubs Sox Week. It's a Cub fan identity. You got to have an identity in life. We're the lovable losers, which is a nauseating identity. But when they were about to win in 2003, when they were up 3-0 in the eighth. And they were about to go to the World Series before Bartman happened.
You only bring this up once a show.
Right. I was walking around Wrigley. We'll get to your teaser. I was walking around Wrigley, and I really didn't know how to feel. It felt like an out-of-body thing. Like, really, they're going to win? I don't even know how to take that. I don't know what it felt like you in 2005. Like, they're going to win?
It was just pure madness. Well, that was... I guess it's a similar situation, because once they won Game 3... You kind of knew they were going to win, right? You always had a tiny bit of doubt. But, you know, you had a whole day to sit on. It wasn't just an inning, you know, before all hell broke loose.
Was it anticlimactic when Juan Uribe threw it across the diamond to Paul Konerko and you
No.
It was not.
This pure madness.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me pay off this tease. So before the break, something actually hit me last night. I was at Miller Park last night. Cubs Brewers, but I've been to a lot of baseball games as I usually am during the summer, and there's a change that was made this year that has resulted in something that we used to see a lot not happening anymore, and you don't even think about it because it was a bad thing that was happening a lot. Now it's good that it's not happening, so you don't even think about it. And we do have a texture that got it. 608, the netting. I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure people have still gotten hit by some foul balls this year. But in the last couple of years, I can't tell you how many times we were on the show on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, and a story came across that some fan had been hit in the head with a ball with a line drive and had to go to the hospital. It was happening like almost daily, like every other day. Someone was getting hit by a vicious foul ball. They finally extended the netting. Not even that much. In some places, it goes all the way down the dugout, like in at Target Field in Minnesota. They have it all the way across the dugout. Most places, it goes up to the dugout. And I don't know about you, but I haven't heard many stories of fans getting hit by line drives this year.
I mean, I don't remember people getting hit at the rate that you're claiming. I think maybe it happened. It was a lot. There was like a 2-week period where it got real. Like, it was just bam,
there were
bam,
a
bam.
Lot of people last year getting hit by foul balls.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's still happening.
Well, the thing about the netting is when you're sitting behind the netting, you don't notice it. You just don't.
You don't.
You don't. And the other thing about the netting, I mean, the news this week, Cubs are building the American Airlines 1914 Club. They're going to be charging big dollars to sit down there.
And there's not even a seat at the game, right?
Oh no! You've got a seat. You've got your ticket, and then you can go underground.
So it's like the stadium club itself. Your ticket is anywhere in the state, but it's not like the scout seats.
No, it's like the scout seats.
Oh, they're gonna build a section. But I thought I saw in the news that it wasn't.
They are in between.
So they're building the scout seats.
In between the dugouts. I don't exactly know how the seats are going to look, but in theory, I think they might look exactly the same. But they're going to build a premium club underground where you can get carved meat and drink Grey Goose and have, you know.
Sounds like a miserable baseball game.
I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a corporate situation.
I want a beer and a hot dog.
I mean, I'll eat
my $10 beer, my $7 hot dog.
I'm happy to eat good food at a baseball game, but if I go to White Sox, I get the elotes.
How much are those?
$6 for a corn on the cob, but it's delicious. You get a little pepper on there. And if you go to White Sox, you got to get a grilled dog. It's maybe the best grilled dog in all of baseball. Mustard, little grilled onion. Come on.
Speaking of great deals.
But the netting, real last thing on your netting.
Okay.
The players themselves, they put their family behind the netting. They don't sit them down the line over the dugout. They put them behind the netting.
I say this all the time. My dad's seats at the cell are behind the netting, and it's never bothered me. And I never really noticed it, actually, until I started bringing my little son to games. And then I was like, oh, my God, I love that this netting's here.
Right, because you can sit there.
Any anxiety.
You can be on your phone and do whatever you want to do.
We sat in the front. Remember I called in from spring training? I was at a Cubs-Reds game in Arizona.
I do remember.
We had front row seats down the line. My wife was like beside herself the whole game. She was nervous. She ended up taking James like out of the stands, and they were hanging out behind, like on the concourse, because we were in the front row and she was so nervous about him getting hit.
Yeah, that's very unlikely to happen.
Very unlikely to happen.
But I get it. Okay.
And we bought those tickets on the secondary market. Remember how much I paid for those? You were making fun of me.
You paid like $40 for spring training seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't like that.
They're front row, though.
Yeah, I know. It was spring training.
Yeah, you were mad at me. You're,
come on.
You're a ticket guy. You were not happy.
I would have flown out there and scalped for you. 6-3-0, did Carm ever get hit like that vendor did this week? I was never hit by a baseball while vending.
I'm surprised vendors don't get hit more because they always have their backs to the field.
It's true. You're paying attention to the sale and not what's going on in the field. I have told the story before where I was filmed on Channel Eyewitness News Channel 7 sleeping in the seats in my vendor outfit. That happened.
You would totally do that.
It was like 11 o'clock on a day game, White Sox 105, and I get up there and I'm just generally just depressed that I'm vending this White Sox game that I'm going to make $50 because there's 8,000 people coming to a day game at the cell and I'm selling beer and it's like kids' day. So I just went left field corner in the shade, good night, took a little nap, and then the 10 o'clock news comes. Mark Giangreco, sleeping on the job. My phone just goes crazy. I wasn't watching. My phone goes nuts. I pick it up, like, it just like freeze frame pictures of me sleeping at the cell in the yellow vendor jersey. I'm like, I'm going to get fired. Like that. That's not allowed.
Did you have a beard too?
I mean, I think I was clean shaven. Sleeping on the job? That happened.
At least you weren't sitting there drinking a beer.
I was not drinking.
How much would you make on a good day, if you don't mind me asking? Like what does the average beer vendor?
Oh, they do okay. I don't know if those guys, they're private about what they make.
Okay. Yeah, that was a personal question.
They're not there for their health. Let's put it that way. You can certainly make a year's wage in a summer if you work both parks and say you work 150 of the 160 games. If you really, but
both parks and just a summer, not even working in the winter.
No,
you can. And a lot of those guys work at the United Center in the winter,
of course, and Soldier Field, and
so they're doing all right.
They're. I mean,
good.
Yeah, I'll keep that one under wraps. 2, 3, 4, something like that.
Million.
Yeah, no. And on that note, should we have one more break here, Dan, do we? Because Brian Noonan is coming up at 6 o'clock.
No break.
Okay, good. I don't want to be late for Brian Noonan, because if we are late for Brian Noonan, he's nice on the air, but then he kills us. Just starts beating us down. Is Brian in tonight, by the way?
We deserve it, though.
Because it's a possibility that he wasn't. If you have missed the news.
I have Saturday's promo sheet here, so that's not going to help.
If you have missed the news of the day, Cubs beat the Brewers 6-5. The White Sox with two walk-off wins, 4-3 and 5-4. The resumption of the suspended game last night because of rain. And then they were up 4-1 in the ninth. gave up three homers, David Robertson did, and then ended up winning in the bottom of the ninth on a Melky Cabrera base hit to left with Adam Eaton scoring. So Eaton hit the walk-off hit in game one, and he scored the game winner in game two. And it was great to have you back today, Adam Hoge.
Yeah, my summer's basically over.
Yeah, you got
camp on Wednesday.
I had a whole thing on the rundown today to talk Bears. It's Wednesday is
well, Chris Sale derailed us. It's okay.
Thoughts real in 90 seconds or less on if you read David Haw's piece in the Tribune today, you might as well not even pay attention to the Bears season.
Yeah, it was kind of negative, huh?
I mean, well, I thought he was spot on.
I got to read it. I haven't read it, but I saw it on Twitter. I think the Bears are going to be better this year. I really do. And by better, I mean 9, maybe 10 wins. Maybe have a chance at a wild card. I don't think they're going to win the North.
I mean, basically, the summation, what Ha was saying, is like, how are you better when you don't have Matt Forte, you don't have Martellus Bennett, you don't have your offensive coordinator, Adam Gase, who's now with Miami, their head coach.
It's fair.
You also took away an offensive lineman that was key in that locker room in Matt Slauson. You picked up end of the, discarded guys like Bobby Massey. So there's like, I mean, I guess the defense is the optimism.
I think the defense is a lot better, and I think they look at that offense and say that they were really hurt last year as it was. So from a wide receiver standpoint, they should actually be better. But they have put a lot of pressure on the offensive line.
Well, we look forward to your coverage, Adam Hoge. Yeah.